consistencies between the guard's story.
But were there? Did they feel at that moment threatened by the students? That
by
they
that
had to
moment
turn around.
They were here. There was no more rocks being thrown. The rocks were being thrown at the guards, with the tear gas being thrown back at the guards for 15 or 20 minutes down on the practice football field.
So for all practical purposes, there was no danger for them to turn around 180 degrees and fire.
The squad that was between the dorms over there never left parade rest. So this squad up here was in danger. The students were closer to the squad over there that never moved out of parade rest. So
the firing was from right this spot.
Yeah. Right along here, and the closest student was, the closest wounded student was Joe Lewis, right about where that young lady is walking right there. He was the closest student who was wounded, and he was giving him the finger, and he was shot twice. Last night in the panel discussion, he stated that in the court documents or in the trials, it was stated that he was a specific target. Obviously the closest marker there is where Jeffrey Miller was shot. The location is actually a little closer to the curb, but they put that there because they had to have an access route for emergency vehicles. So he was shot right near the curb there. Down straight this way, kind of a block by the trees, is where William Schroeder was shot. Again, towards the curb, further down. Allison Krause is the closest spot to the left. And then Sandra Scheuer is the one back in almost the middle of the lot. There were 67 rounds fired, I think, in 13 seconds. To give you an idea of how far the bullets traveled, some bullets went into the Tri-Towers complex out across that field. And at least one bullet was found in the apartment buildings on the other side of the road that are off campus.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Oh, really?
And where were the majority of the students that were wounded? Where did they happen to be? All around?
In and out up here, and there was one over there.
Yeah, there was one out in that direction.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, even past the parking lot in that road,
yeah,
there was a couple students who were wounded down there. Yes?
Like holes in some of the trees?
There are. The most prominent bullet hole we'll look at is in this sculpture up here. It's kind of a permanent, you know, marker of the bullets. That he did, in fact, plant the gun on his body. Just, you know, something is... gives me chills. A lot of the smaller trees, and folks who were here, you know, too, would know, a lot of the smaller trees weren't here in 1970. So the perspective is a little different. Bullet hole from the shooting. They said when it went through here, just a cloud of orange smoke rose into the air.
See the indentation?
Yeah, right here.
Where it bounced off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you look at it, the way the bullet headed down into the parking lot, but the metal is actually flared back out this way. So that was something that some people were trying to say was evidence that a bullet had been fired from the parking lot towards the National Guard. But the Akron Beacon Journal in either 70 or 71 did some comprehensive tests with the same types of bullets, same types of metal, and every time the reaction was the same. The metal flared towards the direction the bullet was coming. Kind of a permanent reminder there.
If I may, what was the direction the students started at the bell down there? Where was their original path when they were having the protest? I mean, did they go from there up past
to the
Taylor?
Practice football field?
Yeah, around this way.
Where that building is.
Yeah. grassy field. Yeah. And there was a fence up there, which was part of the construction site. Mm-hmm. Because this was already being planned, so that was,
yeah,
there was a fence keeping off that road.
So they retreated back when the National Guard, who were back there, started moving up here. Is that correct?
The National Guard were standing around the burnt-out ROTC building at the bottom of the hill, protecting the site.
Right.
So down by the Liberty Bell is where the students first started gathering for the demonstration that was supposed to begin at noon. It was probably about 11:30 that the Guard started pushing the students back out.
Back here.
And there was about a half an hour of activity over here before it got back up to the top of the hill.
And the actual...
And in that whole time, more and more students kept arriving and arriving.
And to give you a time frame, the actual time of the shootings was 12:24. So, relatively a lot happened in a short period of time.
There was a good half hour of stuff out here before the shooting.
Again, something that I had been told from folks who were here is kind of another chilling detail, is that after the shootings, the National Guard almost treated the situation, or they did treat the situation like an enemy combatant scenario, and they held up ambulances for, what I'm told, about 15 to 20 minutes before anybody received medical attention.
Now, these four students that were killed, were they killed instantly?
Yes. Well, Jeffrey Miller was instantly.
Allison died at the hospital.
Yeah, because of her chest wound. There was still some air in the lungs.
Well, he's talking about them holding up the ambulances, and I'm wondering if that would have...
Right.
The ambulances were in short supply. Robbie Stamps, who was one of the wounded, was in the ambulance with Allison and Sandra. And it was kind of difficult to position yourself with such critically wounded students. So he asked the ambulance driver if he could sit in the passenger side of the ambulance.
I see. Something kind of interesting that somebody on an earlier tour commented on was that some National Guardsmen were transported by ambulance from, like, heat exhaustion. So they were also, utilizing those services.
And isn't it interesting... From some kind of a strategic viewpoint, where it's like, we need some, we need some over there, we need some balance. I don't know, but I just wanted to. He was sharing a very interesting story, and I want to share with you guys a very interesting story. You may know that Joe Lewis was shot twice. He was shot here, and he was shot in the leg. He was shot in the stomach first, and then he was shot in the leg. He was standing right over here in front of this sculpture. There was a sidewalk there. And when that young man, who was 18 years old, was well enough to come out of the intensive care unit of the hospital, just to have some kind of processing of what exactly happened, he used to come here as soon as he could come out of the hospital. You can imagine what kind of a condition he was in. And he would stand on the sidewalk where he was shot. And it was easy to know where he was shot because of the ricocheted bullets being all around him. There was a good imprint of where his feet were. And he used to visit this spot as frequently as he could from Massillon. I don't know how far away Massillon is. It's at least an hour.
It's an hour exactly.
An hour exactly. Thanks, Adria. And one day he came to help him with his processing, and the sidewalk had been replaced. And it was an interesting moment in his life because it was like he was being erased. It was very, when he shared that with me, I just found that very, so I found that to be a story, and I asked him if I could tell others, and he says, oh yeah. You know, I bought a shirt one time, the one with the Philip Gibbs, Remember the Victim shirt. And the shirt that I got, I don't know how scoopy this is, but it's got a great big hole right here. And I thought, that's my Joe Lewis shirt. So I try to wear that shirt when I tell this story so people can remember that it was Joe Lewis that was shot twice. I mean, there are only two guys that were actually facing the gunmen when they were shot, and he was one of them. So, I didn't mean to take
No, that's fine. Jim Russell, who was on the panel last night.
This is Jim Russell right here. Jim Russell was shot where the Jim Annex is. And Jim Russell has given me license to say, yeah, that's Jim Russell, not Memorial Jim. That's Jim Russell. Jim is still alive and well.
What I've heard, and I don't know, I haven't talked to Jim about this, but he'll walk in the gym and point to the spot in the gym where he was shot. Yes. But university maps will show him shot somewhere outside of the building. You know, like his marker is on the outside of the gym. So, but Jim will take you inside and say, this is where I was shot.
Yeah.
So,
how far away was the student that was wounded? How far away was the one farthest from the action?
380. It's real close to 400 yards.
Out in the middle of the street.
I think
that
Donald McKenzie, perhaps, was the furthest student away. Yeah, and he was pretty much in the road down there.
Now, all right. So, once the shots were fired, what happened then? I mean, what was the atmosphere?
Over the top of the hill, back to the rest of the guard. There was a little panic out here. And then people went across campus letting other people in classrooms and dorms know that there was a shooting. And there was probably by 1 o'clock that whole commons area was surrounded by 5,000 to 7,000 students, if not more. And there was
before one.
And down in the bottom, then some of the administrators came out with megaphones and tried to talk to the crowd. And by, 2:30 in the afternoon, it was announced that the campus was closed and you had to 4:30 to get off campus. So you want to see 20,000 people or something leave someplace in 2 hours. The roads out of here were a mess. People were in...
On April 30th, President Nixon announced on national television that a massive American